How are we doing? We are back again for episode 3 of the Prepare for Atlanta podcast. This episode, I got to hang out with one of my good friends, Eric Boudreau. I probably ran into him probably 2 weeks before this podcast, and we haven't seen each other in years, so it was very nice to catch up, spend some time together before he moved. Talked a lot about his music and touring in Europe, and reminiscing about the good old days. So, I hope you enjoy Mr. Eric Boudreau. Here we go.
I don't know, man. Crazy, dude. Like,
I let you in my house.
What are we talking about? What?
This is the Prepare for Landon podcast with your host, Joshua Landon. Buckle up.
Yeah! And we are live. Cool. Sweet.
Hello.
Sweet beans, man. Eric Boudreau, how you doing?
Good, dude. How are you?
Very good.
I'm feeling groovy now.
Yeah. It's been years since we've seen each other.
How many? I mean, we did see each other recently, but, like, it's been years since we've...
8 years?
Connected. 8 years?
More? I don't know.
I believe I was 21 years old.
I'd have to do some math.
20 years old when you were in An Ocean Alive.
An Ocean Alive.
How old were you then? You were 18?
20.
20?
I think.
How old are you now?
28? Yeah.
Oh, you're 28?
28.
I'm 29. When's your birthday?
March 15th. The Ides of March.
What's that sign?
What do you mean?
What's your
Pisces.
Sign? Pisces? A fish. A fish, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's October 18th. Libra.
Do you believe in the signs?
Not really, but it's a good way to talk to women, so... You know.
I like that. It's good.
Just being honest.
Yeah, we've had conversations about the signs before already, and not a fan, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, there's, like, the Enneagrams, too.
I don't know what that is.
Enneagrams are, like, you know, I'm an INFP. You never heard of those?
Nope, still lost.
ENJW. You ever heard of those? It's the same type of bullshit, bro.
As, like, zodiac signs?
It's like it's a personality. It's a personality test, basically. And they figure out what type
probably not, though.
Type of person you are. Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, not a fan. We were talking about the brain coping mechanism. We've already talked about it, but I want to bring it up again with you because I think it's interesting. You ever heard about it?
No.
So
what is that?
She says that she read or she heard somehow or something the brain coping mechanism. So, like, when you're in an unfamiliar place and you're uncomfortable, unsettled, whatever, your brain will kind of help you out, and, like, you'll start to see faces of people you think you know.
Oh.
To make you feel comfortable and calm.
Oh.
And, like, that's just the brain's way of, like, trying to help you out and, like, comfort you in a way.
Okay, so say, take for instance, when I lived in England alone for a year,
mm-hmm.
I did for sure relate people I met to people that I knew from back home,
mm-hmm.
and almost replace them with those people in their own hierarchy of my friend group in certain ways, because you surround yourselves with people that become those people, because that's what you do.
Yeah,
you surround
yeah.
yourself with people you want to be like. So in England, yeah, I would meet people that would remind me of other people. And you always say that to someone too when you meet them, mm-hmm. or, like, you're talking to someone you're really vibing with, and you go, you know what, you remind me of.
Yep.
I literally get that all the time. Like, people be like, hey, you remind me of so and so.
Well, you don't remind me of anyone, so.
I don't know.
You're very original.
To me. Yeah, we have a buddy that comes to the house all the time that reminds me of another buddy of mine. But yeah, it's weird how that happens.
Josh,
sometimes.
You remind me of, like, Justin Timberlake a little bit. Because him and I are friends, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I want to hear about your life. Because we used to be in bands together. We used to hang out all the time, pretty much every single day.
Every
single day.
Making
music, recording.
Yep. Making videos.
Band practice, making videos, doing whatever kinds of dumb shit.
Even when I wasn't, like, involved with your music, I would be around you writing
yep.
music. Yep.
Still,
and I would go to all your shows.
Still all the time, be in the front row.
Yep.
But then you, like, You disappeared.
Well, I call it evolving.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a time where I was writing music with our friends, like Cody and Tyler.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was great. It was a massive learning experience. Like, we spent the Particles Like Planets record, bro. We spent like $12,000.
Yeah.
Writing that record.
Yeah.
And recording it. We recorded it ourselves. We had someone else mix it.
I still listen to that record.
I still listen to it. I'm like, damn, bro. Like, I'm really proud of it. It's one of the
Particles Like Planets, Owl and the Archer.
Owl and the Archer, Particles Like Planets. Yeah, it is on Spotify. It's on everything.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's a great thing to listen to because I can remember like every instrument that I recorded on it, or like every part that I helped write, or just being there for the whole process of that. And it was only 10 songs, but we wrote like 50 songs over the course of a year or two. And then we whittled them down to these 10 songs that we're really proud of. And Cody was a great audio engineer. He still is, I assume. I say was because I don't really interact with him that much anymore. He is a great audio engineer, and he was then. I'm sure he's even better now.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's even better now. But yeah, he just kind of like took me under his wing. He was a little bit older than me, and he taught me everything that he knew about recording and which instruments to use and which amps to use. And just he taught me a ton, and I'm super grateful that I got to like have him in my life as kind of an older brother figure to learn from him. You kind of experienced that yourself as well.
Yeah.
With him.
Did he give you music lessons, or did you take music lessons from someone else?
No, I was self-taught.
Oh, okay.
So like I was already in bands for years before I'd met Cody, but Cody was the first band I ever felt like Particles Like Planets was the first band I really took seriously.
Yeah.
Where I would like literally go out and buy an outfit to like look like I was a part of the band, and then then that starts fucking with your mind where you're like, wow, like, okay, should I start wearing these clothes all the time? Yeah. Like, is this who I am? Like, it's a band that changes your identity, that changes you and evolves you.
Yeah. All your other bands before that were, of course, just your
growing up
kid band,
checking
it
out,
you know.
Yeah, with friends
from high
school. Just
having fun with your friends and everything.
Yeah. It's not that I didn't take those serious, but there was an element with, like, the Particles Like Planets band where it just got, like, more adult-like.
Yeah.
And I felt... I was the youngest person in the band. I felt like I was being pulled up by their momentum. And, yeah. Then I quit that band because I wanted more, and I really did want more. And it's not that that band wasn't great or, like, the songs I want to play forever, but I ended up quitting because I had friends that I saw that were traveling and playing their music.
Yeah.
Which, like, I always wanted to travel. I was obsessed with traveling. I have been my entire life. And then, you know, I had friends while I was in Particles Like Planets, we played a show with this band called Being as an Ocean.
Okay. I was about to get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had already known Being as an Ocean.
That wasn't the first time you meeting them at that show?
No. Meeting them with Particles Like Planets was the first time. But I had already known them before I had gotten involved with them in other ways. So I stopped playing with Particles Like Planets, and I sold all my equipment. I sold actually my equipment to your bass player from your band.
Oh, nice.
Jesse was the one who had my amp and stuff. I sold it to him.
Yeah.
That orange, that like...
Jesse and Lane have... I think Lane might still have some of my stuff, like drum stuff from back in the day.
I'm sure he does.
I don't know, man.
But yeah, Jesse had, he doesn't have any more because I got it back off of him actually, but I took the leather off of an Ampeg 810 and I stained it orange.
Nice.
And you guys sprayed AOA on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in your video. It's in the video directed at Alathea.
Dude, that video was fun.
I watch that video all the time still.
We
woe be gone.
We like structured. Well, I don't think we structured. I don't know. But we recorded and shot the music video all on the same night from like, I don't know, 6 p.m. to 5 in the morning.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Well, man. I was there for half of it. I went home.
Yeah, you went home.
I went home.
You didn't have to be there.
You guys stayed
till 5 in the morning.
Very, very, very late.
And you went to Europe and everything. Like, didn't you like tour with Being as an Ocean as well?
Yes. Multiple times, probably more than
like doing merch or
not specifically working for them. I was working for another band that was touring with them. Although at times, like yeah, I would cover for their merch guy and some merch and stuff. But that's what just what you do for friends. The band I was working with at the time. Well, okay, so let's get there. So I left Particles, right?
Yeah.
I sold all my gear to Jesse, your bass player. I quit music. I was like, fuck music. Which,
why?
Bitterness towards like it not working out.
Okay.
But then, you know,
just feeling like failing over.
Yeah,
over.
You feel like in my mind, the music we'd worked so hard on that record and Particles, like more should have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And like we'd put.
And
so
I thought
much
it,
money
I thought it was. I thought it was gonna. But
me too. Me too.
I don't know.
And sometimes still, like they're still going. They're still doing their thing.
Yeah.
They're still writing music. But I feel like their personality types are different, and I was looking for a personality type that was a little more like, you know, loosey-goosey, let's like just get in the van and fucking make it happen.
Yeah.
And also around this time I was hanging out with A Billion Ernies a lot, a band from Hemet that's a ska band that did tour like very heavily. They've been to every fucking state. They played in other countries.
I just wasn't much of a fan.
Well, they wrote ska screamo.
I don't like ska.
No, they're sick.
Love trumpets.
They were sick. Don't so their like trumpet Scott. Player, Starsha, was my friend.
Oh, my
Starsha,
God.
Starsha Nas.
Yeah, yeah.
And Starsha Nas and I were, like, chilling a lot, and she was, like, telling me I should tour, and I was going to shows with her and meeting her tour friends. Mm-hmm. She would take me to L.A. with her constantly and introduce me to, like, oh, this is the Flaming Tsunamis. Like,
okay.
Like, this is Five Iron Frenzy, like, super famous ska bands, and I'm nice. Just like, this is sick as fuck, bro. These are just normal people. These are kids like me, like, they're a couple years older than me. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. And so I started looking on Facebook for bands that were, like, doing that type of thing that resembled what I wanted,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't care about the genre of music, because me, I'm obsessed with music. I'll
yeah,
play
you,
any genre.
I've watched you jump from band to band in all kinds of different styles and genres and everything, and
yeah.
like it didn't matter, you just
I love music, bro.
And like you had such a passion for when you played and everything, like you could just fit and mold into any style that you wanted.
Exactly. Or instrument.
Yeah,
yeah,
you just picked it up. Well,
yeah.
I mean, drums I'm not so sure.
I'll get there, bro. Okay. I can write drums like a motherfucker with a MIDI keyboard. Like, my drums are there in my head, but, like...
I challenge you to that.
I need to just buy a little, like, Ludwig mini kit and start practicing.
I have an Alesis Nitro electric kit out there.
Oh, that's awesome, too.
Along with my real
kit.
Because
that's quieter. The electric kit's, like, less annoying for the people you live with.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, I was looking on Facebook, and then I was friends with this guy, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who mm-hmm. I'm still friends with now to this day. You've met Matt.
Yep.
I was friends with him on Facebook, because I'd met him at that Being as an Ocean show in San Diego or something before, and he posted, hey, I have this band called My Iron Lung. We need a bass player for our tour. And I was just like, sick. All I care about is going on tour. That's what I want. So I talked to Jesse, and I borrowed my gear back off of him. I didn't even buy it. He let me borrow it after I'd sold it to him, which is amazing. That's one of the reasons I love Jesse. He's so fucking giving, bro.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. He's like, dude, you're going on tour? Like, holy shit, like, yeah, you can use this. So my first My Iron Lung tour, which there's videos of on YouTube and shit of mm-hmm. me when I'm 21, 22 years old, playing in, like, Minnesota.
Is that the
Missouri.
Band you played in a pool with?
Yes.
Yeah?
And that pool show specifically was one of Being as an Ocean's first shows. So they piggybacked on our tour.
Wait, like, first shows ever?
Yes.
Really?
Being as an Ocean started playing their first shows ever right around the time I joined My Iron Lung.
Oh, wow.
I went to a Being as an Ocean show with My Iron Lung after we'd bought Big Brown from Starsha from A Billion Ernies. So we bought A Billion Ernies tour van, Matt and I did. That's my offering that I brought to My Iron Lung. I was like, hey, not only do I know all your bass parts already and want to be in this band, but I just bought this van we can tour in, so let's fucking go. And he was just like, whoa, dude. Like, yes.
Yeah,
and
how could you say no to that?
Yeah, how could you say no to that? And so the band was Mike Valenzuela, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Josh. I can't remember his last name right now. I feel like an asshole because he wrote most of the music, and
nice.
He's amazing. And he has another band right now. God damn it, I can't remember Josh's name.
You can't even remember
I'm
the
sorry,
other band
Josh.
Either.
Sorry, Josh. But he was a drummer, and he would sing like you. So I really respected him a lot for that.
I always loved seeing, like, when I would go to shows and seeing a drummer sing. Because,
yeah.
like, for the longest time, I didn't know any other local bands around me that did that still.
Yeah, you were the first. You were the only drummer I knew besides Aaron Gillespie.
Yeah,
that fucking sang and played. At
I mean,
the
there's like
time.
Chelsea Grin, their drummer sang, and like there are plenty of other bands that have that.
That like I knew a lot of drummers as a kid, but like that was one of the main things that drew me to you.
Yeah,
and like wanting to be around you was being like, wow, this guy not only drums and sings, but he writes guitar parts and he pushes his band like it's everything to him.
Yeah,
like, it's everything to him. And you were 16 years old, bro. 17 years old.
Fun.
When we first started hanging out.
Yeah.
I
wrote my first band's like Holy P and like just told him like, hey, play this stuff.
Yeah, I've actually been to Arc of Safety shows.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Apex
with
Heroes.
Apex Heroes. Arc of Safety. Apex Heroes was with Jeff.
Dude, those are such good days.
These
all
are
those
all
local
our,
shows.
These are our bands we're in when we were actual children. So Matt and I met over Facebook. I said I'd do it, and I showed up to the first band practice, and I literally knew all the bass parts already, and I hammered them, and even
not
on top
surprised.
Of hammering them, I like made them even better.
Not surprised.
I showed up with my 810. I was driving my Ford Ranger still at the time, my 1996 Ford Ranger, the tan one. I got that car for $700,
dude,
and I would
so
carry my 810 everywhere in it.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. That thing was a piece of junk.
But yeah, so I really clicked with that band. Matt and I really clicked. We became best friends. And for the next, from 21 to about 26, 25, 26, I traveled the country in Canada and parts of Mexico and England playing music. And it was mostly with My Iron Lung. With My Iron Lung, personally, I've been to over 45 states.
Nice.
And played in many, many dive bars and basements for
seven
kids. You
have any, like, insane stories?
Oh, my God. Most of the insane stories are just having to sleep, like, in the van in a parking lot or, like, getting caught stealing food because we didn't have money. And, like, in some states, like, security guards, like, aren't allowed to touch you. But in other states, security guards are allowed to fuck you up if they catch you.
Nice. Did you know what states you were walking into that did that?
No, you just find it out as you go. You know, and finding out, like, how racist the, like, Bible Belt is. Like, being called a faggot in Texas for wearing skinny jeans like we did my entire life. Like, we grew up in California. We don't know any different.
Yeah.
In Texas, bro, you're gay for doing that. Like, the judgment from certain types of people you meet in the Midwest is pretty wild.
Yeah.
The East Coast people are completely different than we are. They're the same. They're just a lot more, like, they live in the cold, so they're like,
the farthest time. I've been east is, I think, Tennessee.
Tennessee's amazing.
Oh, beautiful.
Gorgeous. Did you go to Nashville?
Yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous.
My grandparents live out there.
Gorgeous.
The thunderstorms are crazy.
Dude, I was there for some.
Like,
scary, right?
Hail,
like actually
sideways,
yeah,
hail,
yeah,
thunder, lightning.
Actually really scary. Actually really scary.
But amazing, though. First and only time I've ever seen and caught fireflies.
I saw my first...
Typical in a jar, boom.
I saw my first fireflies at...
An Owl City concert.
This guy named Rudy's house in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Rudy lived his life to put on DIY hardcore shows,
mm-hmm.
and so he let his house be like a permanent venue, and he didn't have a working bathroom. So he had, instead of a bathroom, he had this like toilet that didn't have a toilet seat on it, so you couldn't sit to take a shit, but you had to put like, he had sticks that he brought down. Rudy also was like autistic or something, like straight up. Like an amazing person,
yeah.
like amazing guy, but like he was straight up, like he was very interesting and very strange and unique.
Yeah.
And
probably just a beautiful person.
Just a beautiful person. So the guy laid down sticks in a bundle by the toilet for you to create
it.
Your own toilet
I love
lid.
It.
So you could sit and take a shit, and then you could take a shower in his house, too. Like, if you've been in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know that it gets 114 fucking degrees at night, and it's sweaty as hell, and you need to take a shower after you just played a basement show with, like, 50 kids in it that are all drinking. And so you go in his shower desperately wanting to clean yourself, and there's a hole in the bottom of his tub that's going through to the bottom of his foundation of his house, and you can see rats crawling around, and you're running the water and the hole and you're trying to avoid the hole as you're taking the shower. For real. I have
so
a
So you
ton
can,
of...
like, drop a foot in and, like, fall down in the hole?
Yes. Yeah, and the, like, the sides of it
And then have
are,
the rats nibble at your
sides
feet?
Sides of it are cutting your feet and stuff,
oh
and the rats are nibbling your feet, yes. So that's... I have, like, favorite tour stories. One of my favorites is seeing Niagara Falls during the winter and freezing my ass off.
Never
Another
been
favorite
yet.
Is being in Quebec... Montreal, Quebec, and seeing two of the most beautiful women I've ever seen standing on a corner kissing each other.
Oh.
Just being like, wow. Okay.
Welcome.
You go, Quebec. You go.
That's one of your favorites?
Yes. Yes. The liberation. And then eating poutine at McDonald's.
Eating poutine?
Yeah. Poutine.
Do you watch Your Mom's House?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about the poutine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Poutine.
Poutine.
Poutine. It's gravy and cheese on fries.
All right. Let's find our way back. You were in Europe at some point, right? And that was with Being As an Ocean. Or was that with Meyer and Lowe?
Okay. So there's actually a funny story to that. So Being As an Ocean piggybacked on our tours for like the first year. They were doing super well at their Tumblr game.
Oh, yeah. They were like the kings of Tumblr.
They were the kings of Tumblr. Their t-shirts, they would sell them for... We would sell our t-shirts for like 15, 20 bucks. They would sell their t-shirts for like 30, 40 bucks.
Crazy.
And they would all sell out.
Yeah.
And ours, we'd sell like 5. And we'd be like, what the fuck, dude? Their merch guy was Daniel Wand.
Why does that sound familiar?
He's the singer of Capsize.
Oh, isn't he a piece of shit?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. Because I've like spent a ton of time with him personally. I work for Capsize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Dude, but they definitely got hashtag me too'd.
Yeah, a lot of stuff came out about
definitely got
him.
Hashtag me too'd. So, like, I'm not saying that the women that, like, that happened with are lying. But, like, I'm also not saying that, like, he didn't do that.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying, like, he's a piece of shit.
I personally but, like... just sold shirts for them. I don't know what they did on their in their free time.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did. That was a much more professional setting than any other band I worked with. I was getting paid a lot to work for them.
Who else did you work for?
Well, I work for Meyer and Long, and I work for Capsize. Yeah.
Cleared it up? All right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Like, professionally, those are the two bands I've worked for. Meyer and Long was as a performance musician and writer, and Capsize was as a merchandise manager. And sometimes, like, tour manager, and sometimes driver, and sometimes GPS guy, and sometimes, like, everything else they needed, I just did.
Yeah.
I would just go on tour with them and do what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some great guys in that band, by the way. Like, Ryan, their guitar player, was young. Young Ryan is a great guy. But, yeah, some stuff happened where they were accused by underage women of some circumstances. And I... cannot verify or deny any of those because I was not there. I was not there for any of that shit. That actually happened, like, I quit the band, and then that happened, like, 2 years after I quit the band. Or quit working for them.
Dodged the bullet there, huh?
So, England. England happened when I was in Meyer and Lung. So, Meyer and Lung was my passion project, and I believed in that band more than anything I've ever fucking believed in. I still listen to it to this day.
And I think Meyer and Lung is where, like, my relationship with you dropped off.
Stopped.
Yeah.
Well, that's where my relationship with anybody I was ever, like, comfortable with stopped. I remember one night I was with Matt Collins, and we smoked weed, and we were drinking beers and playing League of Legends together. He brought his laptop over to my house. Yeah. And it was the last night that I saw him for a long time, and we were drunk, and I was very comfortable with getting drunk with Matt, but no one else.
Yeah.
And Matt... Fitzpatrick, not Matt Collins. Matt Fitzpatrick hit me up from that Facebook thing that I said.
Yeah.
Said, come to this party with Meyer and Lung. We're going to this party at this mansion in Riverside. And I was drunk, and I drunk drove, and I met them.
Don't do that, man.
That started my, like, punk life, bro. I drunk drove, and I met them in a parking lot, and I went to this party with them, and it was amazing, and... Me and Matt stayed up all night talking and drinking. Not Matt Collins, Matt Fitzpatrick, new Matt now. So I replaced old Matt with new Matt, unfortunately. Yeah.
I don't even know where we are anymore.
I'm telling this story like an old person, bro.
Yeah, dude. Just completely branched off. So Europe, right? Something about that?
Yeah. So when I joined Meyer and Lung and toured with them, they were my passion project. I love that band. On our very last tour with that band, we toured with this band called Vales from...
Sounds familiar.
Cornwall, UK.
Okay.
And the lead singer of Vales is this girl named Chloe Edwards, and her and I, like, kind of really hit it off on that tour as friends at first.
Yeah.
We just smoked cigarettes and talked together all the time, and that was their first tour in America, so, like, I got... We basically, like... were entrusted with taking this band from England that kind of sounded like us,
being their
taking
guides.
Them on their guide as their first tour in America, because this was like our 10th tour, and it was a full 35-day U.S. tour.
Oh, geez.
Full U.S. And it was their first tour, and we had to share a van with them. So, like, we really all became, yay, like, we either hate each other or love each other.
I hope it turned out good.
Her and I ended up loving each other. And
awesome.
We fell in love in Redding, California by the end of the tour, and we, like, had this massive fling where we both quit our bands.
Oh.
She was the lead singer of her band, and I was the bass player, and we both quit. So I quit Meyer and Lung because we fell in love, and we're like, yo, let's live together and do our own music.
Yeah.
Because that's, dude, that just seemed like the next evolution to me.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I'd found the passion project, which was Meyer and Lung, which allowed me to travel and write music that I really connected with on a punk level. And I even lived in a punk DIY warehouse for a while, and I was homeless when I was in that band just to, like, prove how fucking gritty I was to be in, a punk hardcore band.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, really went for it. But then this new circumstance presented itself in, like, oh, now you can live in England. You can get a dual citizenship. You can... be in this band with this woman that's on Avocado Booking. If I don't know if you know who that is,
yeah,
but yeah. Avocado Booking, she's like familiar with them. She's been on BBC Radio, like, just her stats, like, presented themselves massively, and also she presented herself as like an amazing friend and companion to me.
That's
and
awesome.
Really
dude.
Clicked.
That's crazy.
We really clicked.
How long did you live in England?
I lived in England for a year.
Wow.
But she also lived in America for 6 months,
okay,
with me. So I got to bring her back one-on-one to America,
mm-hmm.
and I got to go live in England, and we actually wrote pretty much an album together that's unreleased.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, dude, the music is some of the best I've ever written. I actually invented a tuning for this record.
You'll have to show me after
I
this.
Made my own tuning for this record. It's called The Boods.
The Boods.
It's called The Boods. Jesse
Eric
knows
Boudreaux,
this tuning.
The Boods.
Yeah. So after that, like, her and I didn't work out because England didn't recognize my, like, financial citizenship. They're like, you can't get a job here and you're not doing well enough in America.
Mm-hmm.
For us to let you immigrate here. That's like a super watered down version of what they said.
Okay.
Because I tried to get a K2 visa, which is an English marriage visa, to marry her.
Okay.
We were engaged and I did want to marry her, and it didn't work out because we tried to do that, and there was just this massive, like, tension with the government and money, and her and I were just like free music people that wanted to tour and be punk and stuff, and it just didn't work out. Makes me want to cry talking about it now because I still love her. She's amazing.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, though.
I hope
good.
She's all right, though. I hope she's doing okay. She probably is. But, yeah, she never like, did more of her band.
I mean, that's one hell of an experience to have, like, under your belt, so that's pretty cool.
It formed me into who I am today. Yeah, so after that, I came back, and I started playing music with Jesse. We started a band called Lost Ways that went nowhere. And then Jesse started Down and Out.
That or not.
Yeah, I have a song I could show you called Waves that we wrote. And we were playing in the tuning. I came back with that tuning from England.
The Boots
tuning, yeah. And Jesse and Lane and I, this is when Lane and I super bonded because Lane became the drummer of that band. And him and I started hanging out all the time too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is the tuning a secret? Or
no. No.
What is
it's
it?
It's a half step down, A, D, G, and then the B is tuned to a D, and the E is tuned to also a D. So It's kind of like an open tuning, but it's a little fucked up, and it sounds great. If you have an acoustic guitar, I can show you. It's amazing. It's amazing, bro. Oh, yeah, there's some behind you. Oh, shit. Some behind me right now. Yeah, if you have an acoustic guitar, I can show you. It's a great tuning. I'll play something for you at some time. I probably have, like, 30 songs written in that tuning. It's wild. Awesome. And I have, like, lyrics and shit.
Dude, I remember you and Jeff always used to, like, mess around with tunings, and Chris, too. Dude, Jeff's baritone, do you remember that thing? What was that tuned to? Because I know that was a weird tuning. Was it just drop B on the top one?
I don't know, but Jeff's still doing that. Actually, he's gotten even deeper now. He's gotten into, like, analog modular synths.
Awesome.
That are, like, you can only get, like, 50 of these.
He looks like such a mountain man.
I do?
No, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what happens.
And, like, I picture him, like, wearing, like, a grand... Like, coat. I was going to say Grand Wizard.
Like a KKK Wizard coat? No, oh.
Like a Gandalf. I was going to say probably not. A great wizard. Is that better?
A great wizard.
Like Gandalf. And then just like...
A gay wizard?
And then just playing his keyboard.
Yes.
His beard flowing in the wind.
His music's... well, he showed me some music he wrote recently. But him and I are definitely planning on, like, reuniting musically when I move up there.
How far are you from him when you move up there?
30 minutes. Dude. Jeff and I are probably going to fuck. Oh my God. Musically. Not sexually.
Musically.
But yeah, so.
That's awesome, man.
And,
like, Chris is right near there, too, right?
Chris is right near Jeff, yeah.
Okay.
And I want Chris to play music, too, but he says that those days of his life are over. But
yeah, makes me sad.
Makes me sad.
Beautiful man.
I want him to just like he's always been better than me, and he needs to keep being better than me.
You guys also had different styles, for sure. Like, I think you excelled more in like a like you can like a kind of like feel it, you know, type of vibe and like sound.
Interesting.
And Chris is more of like the soothe your soul while walking.
Yeah, because
the gates
of heaven. He learned classical pieces.
Yeah.
And I learned, like, radical pieces. Radical pieces. What does that even mean? Why would you say that? Why do you say that about me?
Speaking of which, it reminded me. Have you ever seen Bill and Ted?
Yes.
Both of them. Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know they're making a third one?
Yes.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
Why? Does it look bad?
So old.
Yeah, they look very old.
Like, and they're still...
But it's about...
They're still high-fiving.
Yes.
They're still saying, like, cowabunga or whatever shit they say.
Are you telling me I look old
right now? What?
Are you telling me, like, this is, like, Bill and Ted's third adventure, us hanging out because we've been knowing each other for so long that now I look old?
No. But now I know what you're thinking.
That's what I'm thinking.
But no, they're just like, they're still saying cowabunga or whatever shit used to say. And they're still like doing solos on terrible electric guitars.
Yes.
Why?
Okay, so I've had this theory too. This is what I've been thinking about me and Jeff recently. Because, like, why has Jeff become my friend all of a sudden again after 10 years of not talking? Basically, you and I didn't talk for 8 years. I've realized that the people that were important to you at some point, because of how cyclical life is and how circular the existence of the universe is, that things will come back at some point. They always say that'll come back to bite you in the ass. That's because you can't get rid of the people that meant something to you. Even if you try to, they will come back in full cycle into your life and reteach you lessons again about new things, or maybe just be there for you in some way that they weren't before. And I fully believe that. And that's why I try to, like, I'm trying to unburn the bridges that I have burned in my life. Are you crying?
So you're saying no matter how much I hate that they made a third Bill and Ted, they're gonna make a third Bill and Ted, whether
exactly.
I like it or not.
Exactly, just like they made a third Jay and Silent Bob movie.
I haven't seen that one.
It's great.
Is it really?
Not really, but
Okay.
If you love it, it's great. If you support it,
I'll
it's
have
great.
To watch it because I think it's on Hulu or something. But yeah, I have no idea what you were trying to say.
I'm just saying you can't get rid of people.
I can't get rid of Keanu Reeves and
no.
the guy from Lost Boys?
No. I think that if someone has some significance to your life, then, like, it would benefit you and your soul to reconnect with them once you've gained the maturity to do so.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's nothing that can't be, like, forgiven and worked out.
Do you think that you are, like... You are, or have always been, but maybe not even found yet, someone that, like, you're just drawn to?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes. Why do you say that?
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's what I feel for her.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I feel that way platonically towards people as well.
Yeah.
For real. Like the person that I am I allowed to say that I grew mushrooms on you? The person that I grew mushrooms with, I felt drawn towards spiritually. And he gave me my dog that I have now.
Aww.
It's my best friend.
Dude, I love that dog.
Yeah, I love her too. She's amazing.
I haven't met her, but I see the videos all the time. She's you mowing your lawn today?
Her face in the window.
Like, what are you doing?
She's hilarious, bro. Yeah, I mow my lawn. So basically now I just, I don't know, I didn't want to write music for a while because I felt like it was played out and I wanted to quit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Have you ever felt that
way? Yeah.
Because I noticed you drop off for a while in your interest in music, but then come back.
Yeah.
But you personally, in my opinion, come back greater than ever before because you're not just sticking to a certain genre anymore. You're playing... You're performing in any genre that you feel like. I actually can think of three different genres of your songs right now. So, like, yeah, or bands that you play with.
Yeah. I don't know. I lost what I was gonna say. I had something really nice to say to you, and then I just lost it.
Oh, there's nothing nice to say about me. Are you kidding me?
Maybe that's why it just fell out. It was like, nope.
So, yeah. So, I didn't want to write music anymore. I actually got in this relationship. You don't even know her, but I was married for 5 years to a person named Julia.
Oh, you were married to her. Okay. Yeah, you met Julia.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I know you guys are married. I still have her name tattooed on my finger, unfortunately. I'm thinking about getting a cover-up.
Good one!
A cover-up or like a... Dude, getting it removed is so expensive and doesn't work out.
Just do what everyone does now and just black out that whole finger.
Fuck yeah. Like a psychopath.
Just one finger just black.
Have no tattoos on my arms or other fingers and have one finger blacked out. People would be like, did you get the plague?
Did you get frostbite?
Did you get frostbite? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Conversation starter. As if it's not already. Oh, who's that woman's name tattooed on your finger, you single man? Fuck, dude. I make radical life choices. Don't do this. Anyway, so what I'm learning from all these is that... So yeah, I dated this woman and I didn't want to write music. I was like, fuck music because I don't want to go on tour anymore because going on tour is uncomfortable.
It can be a lot of fun, though.
It can be a lot of fun. What's one of your best experiences?
I always say I love Dallas.
Dallas is kind of like California.
Like walking around Dallas, downtown Dallas, yeah. Deep Ellum. Dude, that was so much fun. I loved it. I walked into a... I found like a barcade.
Yeah.
Walked in there. And then I found out later on that my friend Billy did the design for their business.
Really? Who's yeah. Billy?
Billy Barber. He used to play in a band called At the Skylines.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He did the design or the logo or whatever for their business.
Okay.
But yeah, Dallas, dude, it was awesome.
I know who At the Skylines is. Wow, that's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
One of those old scene bands.
So he did the design?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dallas is amazing. Well, I have some great Texas stories. Texas is a fantastic state, and I've considered moving there many times. Especially Austin, specifically. Right. You ever been to Austin? You been to Austin?
We did. I got a cat on my desk. We were in Dallas, Houston. Were we in Austin? I think we were. Yeah?
You'd remember it.
I'm pretty sure. I can't think of another Texas city.
Austin, Austin's great. That's where South by Southwest is.
Is it really?
Yeah. I played South by Southwest that year with that my I met Iron the girl Ring? From England, yeah.
Nice.
The tour I did with Capsize was with Counterparts and 100th.
Those are like two of Kendall's favorite bands.
I know. And Forever Came Calling. My Iron Lung was on
Forever Came Calling, jeez.
Yeah. Handguns was on that tour. And Being as an Ocean was on that tour.
Nice.
And my friend Bryce was the merch guy for Being as an Ocean. So him and I would... He would go to smoke cigarettes and I'd sell merch.
Do you have a state that you hate? Or a city specifically?
That I hate?
Yeah, just no, not a fan of.
I have a cool story about Amarillo, Texas.
Okay.
We played a show in Amarillo at a trailer park, and it was like somebody's wedding or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we were playing that show. What the fuck? I was also playing bass for this punk band called Archimedes Watch Out from...
Never even heard of that one.
Yeah. They were from... Texas, but I can't think of the goddamn name right now. I'll think of the town later, but they're from somewhere in Texas, and they were touring with us, and I was doing double shifts, bass for My Iron Lung, bass for Archimedes Watch Out, and we played this trailer park in Amarillo, Texas, and this guy that looked like a Nord Viking brought a pig's head out of, like, nowhere.
Oh.
That was freshly severed and started throwing it as hard as he could on the ground over and over again in the middle of the mosh pit.
Were you watching Gwar?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you know that band?
Yeah, I know who Gwar is. Yeah, they squirt things on the audience.
Blood and whatnot.
Yeah and whatnot. But yeah, a guy was throwing a severed pig's head on the ground over and over again in Amarillo, Texas in the middle of one of my shows.
That sounds fun.
That actually happened.
Yeah, I've never had a show like that.
What was your weirdest show?
Weirdest show?
Yeah.
I don't think I've necessarily had a weird show.
I played
shows. We had a show with a rap artist.
That's cool.
Like in Redeem Revive, like we're a heavy post-hardcore band or whatever. And then it was like us and a rap artist or some shit. I think that was the show with Johnny Craig, too. It was just a weird lineup. Like, why are we on that show?
Dude, Johnny Craig watched my band play once at the Mesa Theater in... No, the Nile Theater in Mesa, Arizona. Johnny Craig watched my band play.
What do you think?
A set once. I don't know. He stood in the back. He shook his head the whole time.
Just
I think he cried a little bit.
Disapproved?
Yeah. He was playing... That was when...
Stealth!
Slaves was on tour.
Okay.
And Slaves was playing below us at the Nile. Yeah.
Nice.
I play with a lot of wild bands. A lot of weird bands. Interesting bands.
What are you doing for work?
Right now?
Yeah.
Whatever I want.
Word. You were painting with your dad for a while, right?
Yeah, well, I was painting for myself. I own my own LLC.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Eric Boudreau Painting.
Ooh.
DBA.
You got started with that with your dad, though.
Hell yeah. My dad taught me how to do all that shit. He's a contractor.
Was it just like,
dude, I can
hey,
do
you're old enough,
also,
you need a job?
My ex, Julia's dad, is a civil engineer, and he got me a job with DPR Construction.
Yeah.
He's the company that built, like, Facebook's headquarters and shit. But I got, like, a job building hospitals with them for a year.
I think I remember seeing, like, pictures or something of that.
Yeah, I became a professional, like, drywall and joiner for the union.
Nice.
I was unionized. So I, like, went to school and did that.
Did you like doing it?
I did, but I had to do this, like, gnarly 2.5-hour drive at, like, literally 3 a.m. every day. And on my birthday, I, like, literally shit my pants on the way to work. And I didn't have a change of pants. And it was like the third time I'd already been late to work. And there's this thing where if you're 5 minutes late to the morning warm-up that you do, because everyone warms up together and works out before you go, because this company's literally like the wildest company ever. I'm not even saying it in a bad way. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
My body just, my colon just couldn't take it. So I like shit myself and then called out for the third time on my birthday. I called the guy that hired me crying and I was like, I'm so sorry I can't do this. And like, I called Julia's dad. I was like, I'm so sorry I can't do this. And then I went home. And I started my own business though. Yo, hand me a cider.
Okay.
Please.
Maybe would you like anything to drink?
I want to watch Avatar: The Last Airbender. Down there, I've been eyeballing that, bro.
I just started watching Last Airbender, Avatar.
For the first time?
Never seen the movie, like the blue people. Yeah. And I also don't really care to.
You've never seen Avatar? What the fuck?
But yeah, The Last Airbender? No.
That's one of my favorite movies to watch on psychedelics.
I'm episode 1, season 2 in. And it's great. I love it. Dude, I knew the first episode. We were watching it. We put it on. I'm just like, this is going to be a good show. I knew it. It had that nostalgic factor to it for me.
Dude, it's amazing. I watched it as a kid, and I watch it now.
And I was telling her, like, I think I needed to watch it for the first time now.
For true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm appreciating it more now. Dude. So, can't complain.
I don't know if I want to, like, tour again and play music. So now I'm getting more into, like, so I started a hip-hop and lo-fi project called Luke Waters.
Yeah, like, I wasn't sure if you were trying to be like, I'm not Eric anymore, I'm Luke, or what the deal with that was.
No, I don't want to use my last name as a stage moniker because it's just too difficult to... Like, my last name's not fucking Peterson like you. It's Boudreaux. Spell that for me, please. Go ahead.
Boudreau.
Yeah, fuck you. You've known me for 8 years.
Well, no, I mean, like, I get that. Because, like, my name's Josh Peterson.
It's super memorable.
But I think Joshua Landon sounds better.
Joshua Landon's super catchy as well.
Yeah.
Makes you sound like a male stripper, though.
And if I didn't go by Joshua Landon, I'm going to just ignore that, by the way.
I'm goading you.
If I didn't go by Joshua Landon, then I wouldn't get my podcast name.
Joshua Landon.
Landon.
Joshua Landon.
Dude. I haven't done it in a long time, but I love, like, mispronouncing, like, someone's name just slightly wrong.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like Eric? 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 Eric?
Dude, words are weird, man.
Yeah, so Jesse actually helped me come up with that name. I was super depressed.
Oh, Luke Waters?
The reason I told you about that ex of mine is just because, like, her and I broke up. I didn't play music through that whole relationship for some reason. But I did do a lot of other cool things that we could talk about some other times. No, I wasn't sad. I was just focused on other shit, bro, that is not probably for this conversation.
All
right. I was focused on, like, growing in other ways.
Yep, yep.
It had nothing to do with music.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right.
Anyways, but I did learn how to record a lot because she had GarageBand on her MacBook, and I'd fuck around with it all the time. I'd, like, take a tab of acid and just play it on the GarageBand for, like, 8 hours.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So fun.
Fantastic.
The most fun you could ever have. Yeah. So her and I didn't work out after about 5 years, and then she moved out, and I had my house alone to myself. And I was like, well, what do I do other than kill myself? And Jesse's like, don't kill yourself, bro. Write music. And I was like, oh, I can write music. It's been 5 years since I've really done that.
However dark, like, I picture it being said just like that.
Basically, yeah. I was like, Jesse, I'm gonna kill
that.
I'm gonna kill myself. And he's like, bro, like, you can write music. You probably shouldn't kill yourself because then you can't write songs anymore. I was like, oh, dude, that makes sense.
How about you just write a song about it?
Mm. So I wrote my first song with Jesse, and it's called Mistakes, and I have it on Spotify. And I still love it to this day, and it's a lo-fi song that I wrote on accident. And I started listening to lo-fi music because it made me feel happy. Lo-fi, by the way, is like on YouTube. Go like that, like lo-fi to chill and study to.
Yeah.
It's always live on YouTube. It's the girl in her, it's the anime girl in her bedroom, and she has like a cat, and there's like all these books, and she's studying. And you listen to music, and it just makes you like, there's not a lot of singing in it. There's not a lot of like genre definition. Literally, lo-fi could like sound like jazz, could sound like hip-hop, could sound like rock, could sound like just pure piano, grand piano.
So what classifies it as lo-fi is mainly just kind of like a chill...
It has a chill vibe, but also it's being ran through filters to where it's made to sound more analog, and like, okay. I usually put a tape delay on everything I write in lo-fi, so it has this shimmering, like, weight...
Almost like old-fashioned-y?
Yes. A little bit? Yes.
Okay.
And also, lo-fi, you use samples from, like, TV shows. Specifically, I use samples from anime that I like, and I take vocal parts from anime, anime, like, monologues from a movie that I'm watching.
Yeah.
And I'll literally be writing a song, and then I'll have a movie going on in the background, because I have two screens like you do, and I will hear one of the main characters say this speech over a part of my song, and I'll be like, holy shit. And then I'll mark where it started, and I'll recapture it, and I'll put a microphone up to the TV and capture the samples myself. And me personally, I don't use any sample that's provided for me within Ableton. I actually hand make all of my own samples,
Yeah. Even
drums, and I play bass, and I play acoustic guitar, and I make my own vocal samples. And I...
You did a song with Christy, right?
Yes, I made a song with Christy called Nice. Fight, and I made another song with Christy that I'd really like to show you, but they're fantastic. And Christy's the first person I ever wrote music with as well, which is awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, her and I hung out a lot about music. So now it's more just of a love project for myself. I've gotten more into exercising lately and doing yoga.
I see you doing yoga all the time.
Yeah, I do yoga all the time. And I'm drinking beer right now, but I try not to drink a lot.
Well, that's like, cider. Calm down.
It's a cider, yeah.
Calm down.
It's a cider. But yeah, I try not to drink a lot. And I just... I'm really like health focused lately,
Yeah. And
I'm getting more into just like self-care, and like that's actually what's my main goal in life right now. That's why I'm doing the big jump of moving from California to Washington, even though I'm moving away from my lovely friends like you
Yeah. And
all my other friends. And I just feel like it's the right step for my personal growth that I need to push.
It's going to be a bummer, but you know, you have to do in the long run, and at the end of the day, like what's best for you.
Duh.
So,
yeah,
gonna miss you, but that's awesome, dude. I know it's scary. I can only imagine,
dude. So scary.
I've never actually been on a plane by myself.
Really?
Yeah.
I did a 13-hour flight to London by myself.
Yeah,
kind of sweet.
The last time I was on a plane, I think I went to Cabo. It was a family vacation when I was 10 or so. But yeah, haven't been on a plane by myself.
You will. You might.
I'm sure eventually. Yeah, but.
Hopefully under good circumstances.
I'd be so overwhelmed my first time. Anxiety. Ugh. I would hate it. I know I would.
Yo, part of part of what I said earlier about everything coming back full circle with your friends and stuff, like, my best friend just died 3 weeks ago in a car accident.
Janando?
Yeah, Janando just died. And it's just like, he wasn't the first one, like, 6 months before that, my uncle died, and then a month before that, my other uncle killed himself, and then a year before that, my grandpa died. So for the last 2 years, I've just been experiencing like loss of close love after another.
Yeah,
and it's making me realize that the people that I know and that I've come across are super important, because we did have some sort of connection. And I'm thankful that you are my friend. I'm thankful that you are my friend and that I have you in my life, and that we're able to grow up together and influence each other, because I don't think I would have been myself without having known you.
Yeah, I wouldn't have experienced some of the things I did if I hadn't met you, man. I love you, brother.
I love you too, man.
Yeah, it's crazy how long we've known each other, and then also how long we've been apart.
It happens.
But, like, that whole group of friends, like, Matt, Ty, Chris, Jeff, like, I felt like at every point in time, like, it didn't matter how much we didn't talk, we would always, like, come back, and, like, it's like we didn't miss a beat.
Exactly. That's actually what it felt like when I started talking to Jeff again.
Yeah.
And Chris, yeah.
Like, nothing changed.
And
I knew exactly who each other were, and, like, we're good.
I never actually really stopped talking to Matt. I didn't talk to him a lot, but, like, at least, you know, every month or so, Matt and I check in on each other.
Yeah.
I try to.
Yeah, we would hit each other up maybe, like, once in a blue moon. But, I don't know.
You can't, your brain only has so much room for so many people.
It's tough. And it's just so tough when people move away. But
I don't know. Jesse and I, like, talk a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, then you better Zoom me and call and whatnot.
Yeah, I will. I probably will.
Yeah.
I think me and Jesse might be lovers, though. That's probably why he talks to me so much.
Okay.
Watch out, Brooke.
Watch out, Brooke. Oh, man. Did you ever have, like, a... Was music always the dream job?
Yes.
Even as a kid?
Yes.
Oh, all right, then.
Yes.
Yes.
I was literally just talking to Manny about this the other day.
It's the dream job? You gonna play a little tune? Are you doing the boots? Fun fact, that's the first guitar I've actually bought. Thrice?
That's the song that I wrote in that.
You wrote that?
Yeah, I wrote that.
I feel like... Like, when did you write that?
Oh, I wrote that, 2016.
Were we around each other back then? Yeah. No.
No.
Dang, dude, that's crazy.
You don't know me half as well as you should probably. When it's raining, you bring me down and you bring me. I don't remember the lyrics. That's
dope though, dude.
That's that song.
Nice.
You're a tidal wave.
That was the band with Lane, right?
Smashing down.
Yeah, okay.
You,
I remember that song.
Me. Let me breathe.
I remember that song.
Tidal wave, bro.
Yep. Yeah, I remember driving back to Hemet. I was at a show probably with Lane. We're driving back to Hemet, and he was showing me your guys' music from that band.
There you go.
Yeah. He was like singing along too.
Lane's
dope,
a
dude.
Sick ass drummer,
dude. Love Lane.
God, he's so good. So are you, though.
Such a fun dude.
Such a fun dude.
Yeah.
Too fun. Oh, shit, bro.
You gotta go?
No. I'm never leaving, actually. I'm gonna sleep between you and Jenna tonight.
That couch folds out, you know.
Couch is for the cats.
Oh, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Definitely,
bro.
Man. It's been way too long, and you're leaving in four days.
Like a,
so.
We could do like a Zoom one next time.
Oh, yeah,
like
for
another
sure.
One. Yeah, so anyways, I write lo-fi music now. Listen to my lo-fi music at Luke Waters Official. Luke Waters on iTunes and Spotify.
Boom. The plug.
The plug. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah.
Joshua Landon.
Joshua Landon.
Joshua Landon.
You want to wrap it up?
Cool. I mean, unless you want to, like, talk about my childhood trauma and shit.
I mean, we could, if you want to dig that deep. We can talk about the nightmares.
Is that appropriate?
The crying at night, we can talk about it.
That does happen.
No, we'll wrap it up. Dude, thank you so much for coming and doing this for me. I'd love to see you again soon, but I don't know when that will be. So
well,
thank you for coming.
Just come visit me.
We'll have to, for sure.
In Lumberjack Land.
Lumberjack Land. Dude, if I go there and I don't see Jeff in like a red flannel and a beanie and an axe and
have you not visited Jeff?
No.
Wow.
Well, you know what? I went on two different tours. Both had Seattle dates. Chris came out to both shows, I believe.
It's okay. I invited Jacob Kelly to like shows forever in LA because he lived there. And the last time I invited him, he's like, "You need to stop playing music and give up because it's never gonna work out." I was like, okay, bro.
Oh my god.
He's probably right though.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna stop there. Thank you, brother. I love you so much. This has been the Prepare for Landon podcast with Joshua Landon. Ooh, we out.